The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm reminded this morning of why we read biblical passages in context. Why we don't pick out single verses to support our arguments or repeat single stories and assume that we understand. Last week we read the story of the Good Samaritan. The lawyer asks what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus, never one to answer a question directly, tells the lawyer the story of the man in the ditch who wasn't helped by the people who should have helped him. This man was helped by his enemy. Jesus then tells the lawyer to go and do. He tells the lawyer and us that it's not enough to know what to do. He tells us to get out of our chair, get out of this church building, go, love our neighbor, who might also happen to be our enemy. The same Good Samaritan story was shared with the children during Vacation Bible School this week. The children learned how to help others, to be generous. They brought in soap for Lutheran World Relief, undies for Clay Elementary across the street, and coins to help purchase more soap and more undies. The message was clear all week long: go and do. In a few minutes, the Kennedys and the Billies will come forward. Ryan and Cole will be baptized. We will pour water on their heads and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We will mark the sign of the cross on their forehead, a mark they will never, ever, ever be able to rub off. They'll be children of God forever. But there's one other thing that we'll do this morning, too. The parents and the sponsors will make promises, and so will the congregation. These promises include bringing the children to worship, putting the Word of God into their hands, teaching them the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. All of us will be called to go and do. Actively share the Word of God with Ryan and with Cole. Then this morning we enter into the story of Mary and Martha. As with the Good Samaritan, the Mary and Martha story is very familiar. Martha's the doer, the one who serves others, models hospitality that Jesus showed for everyone. Mary, the contemplative, sits and listens and learns. She strengthens her relationship with Jesus by sitting at his feet. We often side with one or the other. We claim that some of us in this world are called to be Mary, some Martha. Some of us choose to live out our faith this way. We're even gifted this way, right? But in Luke's story today, Martha is so busy. She's worried and way too involved doing other stuff. Busy preparing food in the kitchen. She makes sure that everyone has enough to eat and drink, that they're comfortable. She becomes frustrated that Mary isn't helping. Jesus tells her she's distracted by too many things. Be more like Mary, he says. Put aside your to-do list. Take a load off. Focus on what's important. Stop doing. Just sit at my feet. Listen to me. Love me. Did you hear the rub between those two stories? Good Samaritan, go and do. Love your neighbor. Mary and Martha, sit and listen. Love your God. Which am I supposed to do? It's not an either-or question. It's actually a both-and question. Love your neighbor and love your God. Which is why these stories cannot be read alone. Because only together does their meaning become clear. The struggle between go and do and sit and listen has existed forever and likely will exist forever. Doing one or the other isn't enough. There are serious Bible study junkies who delve into the Word of God, working to understand and be enlightened by the Word of God, but they don't ever get their hands dirty. Or those who are afraid or uncomfortable or feel they aren't qualified to get their hands dirty. On the other hand, there are also activists who also ignore the questions and the complexities of a situation. They simply get on the streets and do. Or those so busy being God's hands that they lose sight of why they're doing what they do. Barbara Brown Taylor wonders if we might be offering our full appointment calendars to God instead of our prayers, believing that God, who is as busy as we are, will surely understand. Just like neither go and do nor sit and listen alone are the right answer, doing nothing isn't the right answer either. I really believe there are times in our lives when we are called to be the hands and the feet of Christ, to go and do. But there are other times when we need to sit and listen, strengthen ourselves for the journey, hunker down and recharge our faith. Sometimes we can reach a balance and do both. Sometimes we can't. It may be a good time this week to spend some quiet time with God, asking if we have been doing so much that there is no longer joy in the doing. Have we lost the reason for the doing? Or have we been hesitant to put our faith into action, to stand with the least and the lost, to speak out for them, to get our hands dirty? Or this might be one of those times in our lives when we are just plain empty. Both unable to give and unable to hear. It's worth asking, what does God need us to be doing during this season of our lives? When we make the baptismal promises this morning, we are called to do, to literally put a Bible into the hands of Ryan and Cole, to teach these precious children the prayer and the commandments. But we are also called to know in our hearts that teaching these children to love God will change their lives. When we serve in the soup kitchen, make snacks for the VBS children, visit one of our members, or put undies in the collection bin, we need to know in our hearts that we do these things because we're good people. Yes. But above all, because God calls us to care for the least and the lost and the one in the ditch. God calls us to love our neighbors. To love our neighbor, though, with great generosity, we first must be nourished by the grace and forgiveness that God has promised us, by the body and the blood, by studying the Word, by spending time in a community of Christians. We are busy people. We have jobs and kids and extended families to worry about. errands to run and vacations to take, games to watch and school projects to complete, band rehearsals and board meetings. We also have meetings to attend at church, newsletters to write, items to pick up for community kitchen, vacation Bible school to put away, and worship folders to prepare. So take a deep breath this morning and perhaps remember the words that are attributed to Martin Luther. Work, work, from morning until late at night. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Amen.